every Friday right here on The Rush, film critic and host of podcast Last Call with Richard Krause. His name, by the way, is Richard Krause. He joins us to rule on the pop culture stories taking center stage in the court of public opinion.
Order in the entertainment court. Let's get judgy.
Ooh. Court is now in session.
I am standing. At some point, perhaps I'll be told that I can seat. Richard Krause, what's our first case?
Please have a seat and listen as I tell you about Harry and Meghan. They are upset that a newspaper column written by Jeremy Clarkson, whose Twitter bio reads, "I am still a small voice of calm and reason," wrote of Meghan, "At night, I'm unable to sleep as I lie there grinding my teeth and dreaming of the day when she is made to parade naked through the streets of every town in Britain while crowds chant shame and throw lumps of excrement at her." Britain's independent press standards organization said this week that it had received more than 17,000 complaints, the most about any article since it was established in 2014. So Harry and Meghan want more than just the written apology that The Sun has offered. And so my question to you, Mark, as the jury, are Harry and Meghan right to expect more than just the standard "we're extremely sorry" apology in print?
I think this was a stupid thing for an editor to have allowed to be printed. I think it was right for the publication to apologize for it. But, Your Honor, I would submit to you that an apology is as much as they can expect.
Well, here's my verdict. For me, this isn't really a story about Harry and Meghan because everybody's tired of hearing about them. This is a story about Jeremy Clarkson, who's an extremely popular television presenter in Britain, and The Sun, who respectively felt that it was okay to write and publish this misogynist drivel. This is free speech at its worst. Free speech at its best entails an element of ethics. Agree or disagree, we have the right to speak up. But all too often these days, people speak up with an agenda to upset or inflame. If that is the road you choose to travel, know that free speech can have a cost. Words have consequences, and sometimes your right to speak your mind has unintended outcomes. Clarkson may have been trying to be clever by evoking a scene from Game of Thrones in the article, but we've seen too many examples of people acting out based on overexcited verbiage from columnists and politicians. So a tepidly worded apology from The Sun isn't enough. Free speech is free and important, but Clarkson and his editors should be made to really understand that there is a big price to pay for irresponsible and inflammatory language, and that is my verdict.
There you go. Well, and I think you're right, but I think that's what the actual courts are for. So they could sue, I think, perhaps for damages. But the fact, I don't think they're likely to get much more from the editor. But I, as a former newspaper editor, I would never have allowed that to be published. What's our next case,
sir? Rightfully so. Rightfully so. And so the next case is all about Ryan Seacrest. So Ryan Seacrest said earlier this week, when it was announced that on CNN, there would be no more drinking on New Year's Eve. So Anderson Cooper and Andy Cohen usually have some cocktails. Last year, while they're hosting the midnight show, last year, Andy Cohen got a little over-served, and he started talking about Journey and saying that unless Steve Perry is singing in Journey, then it's not really Journey. Trouble is, Journey were playing right behind him on a different television show on Ryan Crest's New Year's Rockin' Eve. And so nobody was really thrilled that they had a drunk guy on TV talking about the band, particularly Ryan Seacrest, who this week said, absolutely not. Don't drink while you're on TV. You shouldn't drink. So my question to you is it okay to get juiced up on air during New Year's Eve?
I am of two minds of this, Your Honor. I would say as a viewer, hell yes. That makes it so much more fun to watch. As a broadcaster and sometimes in other forums, manager, heck no. I don't want to take the risk. We're very careful about what image we put forward and what we say on public airwaves. So, yeah, and this one I got to side with CNN.
I'm going to take the side of the audience on this one, and I say bring back the Edge to live television. I want the scandal-ridden Amy Robach and TJ Holmes to get busy on Good Morning America. Everything is so prepackaged these days that Andy Cohen, drink in hand, saying that he doesn't like Journey is suddenly seen as some kind of attack on our moral code. It isn't. It's more like your drunk uncle at Christmas dinner spouting off. It's harmless nonsense at midnight long after the kids have gone to bed. If Cohen was reading the news while sipping a tequila sunrise, then we could rightly kick up a fuss. But on New Year's Eve, nope. And that's why I say kick back and relax, Ryan Seacrest. And that is my verdict.
There you have it. I'm 0 for 2 here. what do you think? Just before we get to the next case, they must have insurance for these types of broadcasts. Would this affect, do you think, the amount they have to pay in a premium? If I'm the insurance company, would I go, well, they're going to be drinking. What? Okay, let's reassess the risk here and the price of your premium.
Let's reassess upwards. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, all it would take would be for someone like Andy Cohen or Anderson Cooper, one of their stars, to get drunk and fall over and break an ankle, and everyone's going to start suing one another, and it's going to cost a lot of money. So I say insurance
be
damned.
But that would be fun to watch.
It would be. It would see. I just want exciting television. That's all.
There you go. You're very consistent, Your Honor. What's our next case?
The film Babylon, starring Brad Pitt and Margot Robbie, came out last week, and it has not done well in theaters. The 3-hour and 15-minute epic story of early Hollywood got 4 stars out of 5 from me, but a collective shrug from the audience. Of course, online, there has to be a villain, someone to take the blame for the film's failure, and from what I've seen, all fingers are pointed at Margot Robbie. Her anti-fans point out that her last film, Amsterdam, stunk up theaters, despite an all-star cast and an A-list director. She took the heat, but why not blame Pitt or the weather or any other number of contributing elements? So my question for you is, when a movie like this stiffs at theaters, is it always the fault of the star?
In this case, no. You lost me at 3.5 hours, so I'm pointing the finger of blame directly at the editor who didn't edit anything.
Here's my verdict. Who knows why movies don't connect with audiences? I've been doing this for 25 years, and I couldn't tell you. I know Babylon came out during a massive weather event that likely kept many people sequestered at home and not going to the theaters. I think releasing a 3-hour and 15-minute movie that wasn't called Avatar: The Way of Water during a busy Christmas season may have been a problem. Or maybe it was that word got around that Brad Pitt does not take his shirt off in the movie. Or maybe the movie flopped due to a lack of superhero characters. The only thing I know about show business for sure is that nobody knows anything about show business. Not really. Every project is a crapshoot, and failure is a group effort and rarely the fault of one person, whether they're named Margot Robbie or not. So leave Margot Robbie alone, and that is my verdict.
Yeah, I think it's hard to... It's hard to keep remembering that there are so many people involved in making one of these big productions, and they all have to do exactly the right thing at exactly the right time together in order for it to succeed. And that's got to be incredibly hard.
It's incredibly hard when you're dealing with levels and levels of management, too. It's a creative business, but it is called show business. And so show is part of it. Business is the other part. So a great deal of the success of any movie depends on whether or not you actually hear about it. So did the marketing fail? I don't know. A lot of people have told me that they didn't even know that that movie was playing in theaters. I think the length had something to do with it. I think that the weather had something to do with it. I think there's so many contributing factors that you can't just look at Margot Robbie, who's fantastic in the movie, and say, unlike everybody else online, you can't look at her and say, this is your fault. I just think it is a series of unfortunate events that put this movie in the crapper.
Richard Krauss, thanks very much for Entertainment Court. I hope you have a wonderful New Year's Eve.
Well, I'll be in there in a couple of hours.
Right. You're going to tell me what you're talking about. So never mind. Don't have a good New Year's Eve. I'll say that later.
All right. Thanks, Mark. See you in a bit.
Take care.